Thanks to Shopify for supporting the Productivity Show. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs like ourselves the resources once reserved just for big business. For a free trial, go to shopify.com/TPS.
Welcome to the Productivity Show, a podcast where we believe that you can get the important things done without having to sacrifice your health, family, things that matter to you. In today's episode, we're going to be catching up on what's been happening in our industry and new trends that you need to be aware of so you can stay ahead of the curve. And if it's your first time listening, welcome to the Productivity Show. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in. I just want to give you kind of a quick background on two of us. And my name is Tam Pham. I'm the founder and CEO of Asian Efficiency, where we help people become more productive at work and in life. And I'm also joined by my co-host of the Productivity Show, Brooks Duncan, the COO of Asian Efficiency. And we both came to productivity from completely different directions. I started the company in 2011 as a passion project to share what I was learning about productivity, about time management, goal setting, just how to be more efficient in life. And it was always meant to be a passion project. And it accidentally turned into a business where we are now one of the leading productivity companies in the world.
Yeah. And for myself, I've been all over the place. So I've worked in large corporates where I would fly across the continent to go to New York for a 1-hour meeting, stay overnight and fly home. So I've been in that world. But I've also been in the small startup world, just a few of us grinding and down to like three people sometimes. So I've worked in a big spectrum of different places. And really, we started this podcast because we wanted to help people become more productive at work and in life. One thing Tan says all the time is that happy people are productive people, and it's really, really true. So we want to help you do that every single week. We're going to share tips. We're going to share strategies. We're going to help you win back time, have more energy, and get focused on what matters. Now, sometimes we have guests. We've actually had a lot of guests lately, but sometimes it's just the two of us, and that's fun too. But either way, we want to make sure to give you actionable productivity tips and insights. And we really love getting reviews and hearing feedback from you. So if you have any thoughts to share with us on the show, please feel free to do that however makes sense for you. We have one from Carol who writes, "Your podcast give me a positive water cooler chat that I can't get otherwise because I work from home. I love that the tips are actionable and straightforward and are focused on making one life easier and more rewarding." So thank you so much for that, Carol. We actually hear that a lot from people who say, "Oh man, you guys are the only people I know, quote unquote, who get this stuff because it's not part of my world." So if you ever want to reach out to us, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, hit us up at Asian Efficiency on Twitter, or go to email podcast@asianefficiency.com. All right, Tan, let's get into it. What are we going to be talking about today?
Yeah, we have a lot to go over. So we have a few topics that I want to make sure we cover today. So first thing is, there was a news report coming out that measured the productivity in America and how it dipped in 2022. And it's been the lowest since 1947. And people can't figure out why that is. So we want to give our take on what's been happening and what we can do to turn things around here. But also, another topic I want to talk about is what we call space boxing, which is a new productivity strategy that we coined that I think everyone should know and be aware of. And I'm excited to talk about that and how you can implement it to be more productive moving forward. But also, there's kind of a new trend happening, especially with the new Mac and iOS releases, where you can use your phone as a webcam. And I'm wondering, is this a fad or is this a thing that's here to stay? We're going to be talking about that as well. And as always, before we kick things off, we always like to share our top three favorite resources just to kind of give you some stuff right out the gate. And I have three of them here today. So the first thing I want to share is I've been really into drinking prebiotic sodas. So this is not a probiotic soda, but a prebiotic soda. And what the difference is, a probiotic is typically something that has like the healthy bacteria already built into the food or drink. Right, like sauerkraut or kimchi is typically known for having a lot of probiotics, or yogurt. However, prebiotics, what's different about them is it's kind of like the food that creates the probiotic, if that makes sense. So there's two brands of prebiotic sodas that I really like. Both of them are based in Austin. or you can get them readily in Austin, I should say. And the first one is called Maya Well, and the other one is called Poppy, so P-O-P-P-I. And I've been ordering them off Amazon, and I've done the research, and yes, it's good for you. It actually seems to work. I just enjoy the drinks myself. I'm somebody who doesn't like to drink soda or have a lot of sugar, but this is like the best alternative that I can get. So go check it out. No matter where you are in the world, I'm sure there's brands that you have locally as well. So go check those out. A second resource I want to recommend is a book called Smart Brevity. So if you are someone who does a lot of writing and you want to become a better writer, go check out this book, Smart Brevity. And then the third one is another book called The Second Mountain. This is a book more about life philosophy, and the whole analogy of the book is that most of us climb one mountain and we get on top only to figure out that chasing fame and fortune is not really the thing that we were really after. And then we have to go climb a second mountain to really figure out what that is in our life, like the purpose behind what we're doing, what is meaningful to us, and what actually matters. And it's a great philosophical book that I really enjoy. And so I recommend you check it out as well, Second Mountain. And we'll have links to all of it in the show notes here. So just swipe on your podcast app or just go to theproductivityshow.com, and everything that we will mention moving forward will be in the show notes as well.
All right. So let's get started with some of those topics. But what we like to do sometimes is just go do a little roundup of some of the productivity news that we've seen out there. And Tan and I never talk about this stuff beforehand. The first time we ever talk about it is here on the podcast. So I'm always curious to hear Tan's thoughts about some of these things. So I'll start with number one. And that is, I saw this interesting Twitter thread where the CEO of Doist, which makes Todoist, was sharing their experimentations with AI task creation. So we've talked about AI on the podcast a lot, but it's been often in the context of, hey, what can we do to protect our jobs from AI and that type of thing. We've talked about that before. But there are some really useful things that are starting to happen with it as well. And one of them is, like I said, the Doist CEO posted how they're experimenting with AI task creation using GPT-3, which is one of those AI engines. And it's just a proof of concept, but the example he gave was pretty impressive. What he did is he just typed in a general thing he wanted to do. So one of the examples was how to become a dictator. That was one kind of like silly example, but a more useful example is I want to become better at disconnecting after work. And what happened is it then generated 6 tasks that you can use to help you disconnect from work. And they were all pretty, pretty useful. So I'm not going to list out all 6 tasks here, but you can go to the show notes, theproductivityshow.com, and we'll link to the screenshots. And it was just an interesting experiment that I bet a lot of different task management apps are going to start doing to try and help you generate useful tasks. So that's number one. Number two is OmniFocus, which is the task management app, speaking of task management apps, that Tan and I both use, is in public beta. So it's almost ready for release. And we'll link to more information on that. Personally, I'm not a beta person. I almost never install betas. I like to wait till everyone else finds all the bugs for me. So I haven't installed it myself. But just from looking at the things that are happening, it's starting to look really nice. There isn't any crazy changes as far as functionality, but what they've done is they've cleaned up the UI. Locations now work on the Mac. So if you're somebody maybe who travels, you can have location-based tags the way you've always been able to do in iOS, which you can now do on the Mac. And you can now adjust your fluid layout, which is an OmniFocus thing, where you can have some of the fields, like maybe your tags or your dates or something like that, in the fluid view, so you don't have to have that inspector open on the side. So it just allows you to have a much cleaner UI with just the things that you want to see. So I'm really looking forward to it. I can't wait till it comes out. I'll be upgrading right away. Right now, anyone can sign up for the beta and get it installed on your computer. So if you're a beta person, go for it. So that's the second. And number three, Airbnb is going to start letting you search by total price, which includes cleaning fees. Now, we've talked about Airbnb a lot because we tend to do a lot of travel episodes. I know, Tan, you travel all the time, and part of your travel guidelines is using when you're going to stay in hotels, when you're going to stay in Airbnb. But the thing that always annoys me about Airbnb is it's like eBay shipping fees in the early 2000s, for those who remember. You know, you think you found a good deal, but then what they've done is they've just kind of shifted the revenue over to the cleaning fees to jack it up. So now Airbnb is going to start searching by total price, which includes those cleaning fees, which I think is really, really great. So Tan, what do you think about these? Are you going to start using AI tasks? Are you going to use that total price search for Airbnb? What do you think?
I think it's really interesting what's happening with AI, especially being here in Austin. I think there was a company recently that raised like over like $125 million or something called Jasper. And I happen to know the founder of that company and also a few of the VC funds that's invested in the company. So there's a big thing happening in AI right now. And a lot of like venture capital funds are looking into invest in that particular arena. And so it was interesting to see how this person was using AI to figure out like what to do and how things need to be done. And it seems to make things a little easier. So a lot of AI companies right now, for example, do predictive writing. So you could literally say, hey, I want to write a blog post on productivity tips to sleep better. And the AI tool can actually write it for you almost. And it's like pretty scary how good it is. And I think that's really exciting technology. So it's interesting to see how we could potentially use this in, you know, task management, even like for calendar apps. Imagine like the AI tool being able to, you know, figure out when to like schedule stuff for you and that kind of thing. So I think that's really exciting. I think the other thing is with OmniFocus 4 being in public beta, when it comes to like the UI and everything looks pretty okay. But it's not like groundbreaking to me. I think it looks okay. And then also with Airbnb, like that's always been one of my biggest pet peeves. And I'm glad that they're finally figuring out ways to make things a little easier for us. So I'm glad they were able to do that.
All right, let's get into the topics of today. And Tan, you mentioned this. I'm really curious about this. Despite your best efforts, why have U.S. workers become so less productive? What's going on?
Yeah, so there's a post by the Washington Post, and basically what it was saying, I'm quoting verbatim here, it says, in the first half of 2022, productivity, the measure of how much output in goods and services an employee can produce in an hour, plunged by the sharpest rate on record going back to 1947, according to data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So I believe we did a podcast episode maybe like, I don't know, 2 months ago, where we talked about how there was research coming out how 2020 was one of the most productive years ever. And also 2021 early on seemed to be that way. And now this new report is now showing how 2022 is like arguably one of the worst years ever. And so I think, you know, if we look back, the pandemic moved a lot of things forward, like faster tech adoption, working from home, robotics, automation, you know, a boom in productivity in those 2 years, 2020 and 2021, was a result of that, I think. But it seemed to be unsustainable. And that's something that I think you and I have talked about many times is when we're looking to make change, how do we do something so that it is sustainable? And it seems like whatever happened in the past like 18 months was just simply not. And then I think the other thing that was interesting in the article, they talked about quiet quitting, which is a term I've actually never heard. But basically what it means is when they're talking about quiet quitting, especially if you're in a remote company, what it means is people tend to only do what is asked of them and expected of you and nothing more. So, you know, when a lot of the stocks are down, people are like, you know, being forced to do a lot more stuff, and people are now kind of moving on, only wanting to do stuff that they're, you know, really passionate about. I can see how this quiet quitting is taking place as well. And I think another interesting thing in the report was how the CEO of Microsoft coined the term productivity paranoia, where managers are kind of getting to a state where they're a little bit anxious about their employees and how they're working, if they actually are working, and they want to be able to track them and track their time, their activity. And I have a few people who work in corporate America, and they always talk about how, you know, they have to move their mouse and stuff. So it seems like they're online, which is just crazy to me because that's something we don't even do. And we've been working online for, you know, over a decade now. So I think it's just really interesting to see this. I'm not quite sure why the dip is happening, to be honest. Like, they kind of give some theories, but it's really hard to say why that is. But I wanted to bring that up because I personally haven't seen this, and not that I've seen this in my circle of friends, that this is a conversation going on. So I'm curious to hear your take on this, Brooks. What do you think is happening?
I was thinking about this the other day because I was thinking about how, like, my generation of workers tended to be, our parents would, like you said, there's what's expected to you, but you would always go above that. And, you know, you would always do what needed to be done and that type of thing. But I'm wondering about the next generation of workers who are now coming into the workplace, who have seen their parents in this default grind mode, who have seen their parents glued to their Blackberries at the dinner table, who have seen their parents miss soccer games and dance recitals, who have seen their parents, you know, kicked to the curb the second maybe the company's going to have a bad quarter, and they just like lay off a bunch of people, no matter how hard people work, no matter how loyal they've been, you know, all the, you know, they've seen their parents get laid off and stuff like that. So I'm wondering if this is part of the reason for this, is that this newer generation of workers now have seen all this, and that's why quiet quitting does not surprise me at all. Because if you've grown up seeing this happen to the generation just in front of you, why on earth would you like kill yourself for someone else that's going to have no loyalty to you at all? It's better to either work for yourself and take responsibility and where you get the benefit, or do this quiet quitting thing where, yeah, you'll do whatever it is you're asked to do. But if you think I'm working on evenings, weekends, that sort of thing, forget it. And I actually don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. So who knows? Maybe this productivity drop on a macro level, maybe it's not such a bad thing. Maybe we were kind of overextended for a long time, and now things are swinging the other way. I'm really curious about how this is going to go in the future. As for the productivity paranoia thing, yeah, this is something I've heard a lot, and this is something we heard, especially during the pandemic, when we were doing a lot of stuff with work from home. You know, we did our courses and stuff like that about that. And this is one thing we heard from a lot of people is, yeah, they feel like they have to be present no matter what. They have to be green, you know, have their status green in their Teams or Slack or whatever, and be responsive, and it makes it even worse. So productivity paranoia is an interesting thing, but I like the distinction that the article made between activity and productivity, activity and results. And just because you're there moving your mouse and responding to questions doesn't mean that you're actually delivering results. So I don't see how this lack of productivity and this productivity paranoia, like, something has to give eventually. So this is going to be fascinating to watch. We'll have to do updates on this in the next coming months to see how this goes, because something is going to give on one side of those things. Whenever I hear that sound, it just makes me very, very happy. It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Now, I love the internet because it really doesn't matter what you're into. You could be into winter camping, vintage t-shirts, pineapple cakes, ghee, whatever your thing is, you can start selling on Shopify and join the platform, simplifying commerce for millions of your favorite businesses worldwide. I mean, Shopify just makes it so simple to sell to anyone from anywhere. And with Shopify, you'll create an online store in your vibe, discover new customers, and grow the following that keeps them coming back. Shopify has all the sales channels sorted so your business keeps growing. From an in-person point-of-sale system, yes, Shopify is in-person as well, to an all-in-one e-commerce platform, even across social media platforms like TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. And thanks to 24/7 support and free libraries full of educational content, Shopify's got you every step of the way. Every single minute, yes, even during this ad, new sellers around the world make their first sale with Shopify, and you will too. When you're ready to launch your thing into the spotlight, just do it with Shopify, the commerce platform backing millions of businesses down the street and around the globe. This is a possibility all powered by Shopify. Shopify makes selling simple so you can put yourself and your ideas out there. I mean, the very first thing I sold online was access to a phone call about going paperless. And AE's first thing was an ebook about getting better sleep. My son wants to start selling Chinese pineapple buns. Whatever your thing is, Shopify makes your success possible. Making your idea real opens just endless possibilities, and I love how Shopify makes it easy for anyone to successfully run their own business. It's never been easier to start and grow a business thanks to Shopify. Go on, try Shopify for free and start selling anywhere. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/TPS. Go to shopify.com/TPS to start selling online today. That's shopify.com/TPS.
So Brooks, let's move on to the second topic here. Let's talk about space boxing. So this is a term I've actually never heard of before, and this is the first time I'm coming across this. So what is this whole space boxing thing?
Yeah, well, I was just thinking about how, so this episode is, we do these news episodes every once in a while, and this is going to be the last one for 2022. And it got me thinking about how we're just about to go into the precipice of this time where, especially for those of us who work from home sometimes, or maybe over the holidays, we're going to be working from home a little more. And in the holiday period, things just get really, really difficult, right? You've got friends and families coming over, the kids are off school, you've got shopping and errands, maybe you've got like presents and decorations and stuff all over the place. There's errands and stuff you need to do that aren't really work related. It just seems like everything comes together at once. And we've all talked about time boxing a lot on the podcast, which is making time on your schedule to get your important stuff done. It could be work stuff, could be personal stuff. And we always say, you know, you make time for things that are important. You never find time. And that's what time boxing. I think a lot of us have a handle on that. The flip side of that, and I think it's going to be really, really important over the next month or two, is space boxing. And anybody who works from home can really put this into use. But even actually, if you work in an office, now that I think about it, I bet there's lots of opportunities for this as well. And what that is defining a space for different parts of your day and doing what you can to defend the space. So maybe when you're at your desk, you're only using your laptop for work-related stuff. Maybe if you're going to be doing personal projects, maybe you move to the kitchen counter, maybe you move to the sofa, you know, whatever it is. Or maybe you just say, hey, the bedroom is going to be for sleep only. No watching Netflix, no working in bed on my laptop, that type of thing. I'm going to space box my bedroom so that's only for sleep, to help my sleep and my energy of the time, energy, and attention pyramid. Maybe you get bored easy and you're just like, okay, I'm working here, I'm going to switch things up and work there. And maybe that's your definition of space boxing, is have different places to work for different phases of your work or different phases of the day. Maybe you start at your desk, but you finish things up in the afternoon at your kitchen table or in a cafe or something like that. So obviously this really depends on the amount of space you have available. If you have a big house, there's a lot of opportunities for space boxing. If you live in a small apartment, maybe there's less, but it can be done even in small apartments as well. And so I would encourage people, especially people who work from home, but even if you don't, even if you work from offices, I would encourage people to give some thought to the concept of space boxing in alignment with time boxing, and really try to defend that space as much as possible. Now, Tan, I know you live slash work in an apartment. Do you employ this space boxing concept, or how does that work for you?
Sort of, yeah. I mean, something that we've talked about many years ago is how, for example, I don't use my iPad for reading or anything. Like, I strictly use it for entertainment purposes. And just like, I use my workstation strictly for work and really nothing else. And I like don't tend to bring stuff into my bedroom for work. Like, if I have to get work done, I have to do it at my desk, right? So in that way, I kind of do space boxing, but also I kind of apply that idea to devices as well. So for example, if I'm on my Kindle, that's strictly just for reading. I'm not going to do checking email or something like that, right? whereas the phone is kind of like multi-purpose. And so I kind of did this with devices, but then it naturally lends into different spaces as well. So for example, I have a separate laptop that I typically only use for travel, but it's a laptop I have like, you know, stuff stored in a cloud so I could sync to everything, but it's stripped down to super simple bare basics so that it forces me that if I ever have to do any sort of complex editing or any sort of intensive video work, I can't do it on my laptop. I simply don't have the software installed to do it. So I'm kind of forcing myself to move to my workstation to be able to do that kind of work. So I don't want to be able to actually be accessible to be able to do everything everywhere, like how I used to be. Now I kind of want to designate time and space to specific areas where I can do stuff. So like I talked about, like with the bedroom, it's only strictly there for watching TV and sleeping, and that's about it. Just like my workspace is just for work. So I've never given that like a name or something like that, but I like the idea of space boxing in that sense, and that makes a lot of sense, especially if you're working from home. No matter how small your place might be, that makes a big difference in terms of like being able to mentally make a switch. But also, even if you go to, like, let's say a coffee shop where you tend to maybe want to check your email or do some creative work, like, that's another way of protecting your space as well. So I like this idea, and this is definitely applicable to people who work from home. But if you're working in an office setting, I'm sure you are in plenty of situations where you just want to kind of go to the sofa or something, or to a different room, or like an empty conference room. So you can actually do a phone call. Like, that's just another way of doing that as well. So I really like this idea. And I've never heard of this term, but I kind of like it that I want to kind of adopt it too.
It's a great point you bring up about devices. So it's almost like device boxing, or you can include it in space boxing. I remember years ago, there was a Silicon Valley CEO who was talking about how he uses two phones, and people on Twitter were dunking on him, as people on Twitter do. And basically his idea is, I have a phone for work and I have a phone for personal, and they never mix. And he's, you know, he kind of said it in a funny way, like one for offense, one for defense or something like that. And people were dunking on him. But the more I think about it, the more I think he actually had it right. Now, I don't personally do this. I don't have a work phone and a personal phone. Some people do. They have no choice. They have their phone given them by work, and then they also have their personal stuff. Even if you're not forced into it, it's not a bad idea. Again, I'm not personally going to do it. Having two phones sounds like a problem, but I like this idea of segregating your devices when possible. I think that's a great strategy. All right, let's do topic number three, and this is being a bit of a downer, breaking the hype a little bit, but I thought it was interesting. And it's the concept of this new feature that's in iOS 16 and macOS Ventura called Continuity Camera. And basically, we've talked about it on the podcast before, but it's this cool idea where you can actually take your iPhone, put it near your monitor, and as long as it's near your computer, it will see it as a webcam, and then you can actually use that as a webcam. And it's really, really cool. It works really, really well. I mean, if you think about it, the iPhone's camera is going to be way better than any like Logitech camera you attach to your monitor, for better or for worse. Maybe you don't want it to have as good video quality, depending. But, you know, it is way, way better. And it's so much easier than having a big SLR camera attached to your monitor with cables everywhere and interfaces and stuff like that. It just makes everything so seamless and so easy. So my first reaction to this was, oh, what a cool feature. I might try that. But in the Mac Power Users Forum, and we'll have a link to that, a user, Mitch Wagner, posted a post called Continuity Camera, an Unpopular Opinion, where he basically gives a bunch of arguments against the hype. And I thought it was really, really interesting, and I hadn't really thought about it this way. So I'm curious, Tan, your take on this, if you're going to be hopping on the Continuity Camera bandwagon. And some of his arguments are interesting, which is, to use it, you have to take your phone out of your pocket and mount it on top of your monitor. So that means when you're in a meeting or when you're using it, you can't use your phone. Now, you could give the argument you should have 100% focus on the meeting. You shouldn't be using your phone. But sometimes there are legit reasons why you do need to check something or message somebody or whatever. But you can't do any of that because your phone's attached to your monitor. If you want to step away from your desk and you need to take your phone with you for whatever reason, you can't. You have to go through the thing of unmounting it and that sort of thing. And like I said, there's kind of diminishing returns with video quality. Like, how good do you really need to look on Zoom? Like, it's one thing, you don't want to look bad, but at the same time, you don't necessarily need to look iPhone camera good. So if you just do occasional FaceTimes with the family or something like that, or if for whatever reason you need super high quality video for maybe recordings and that type of stuff, then I think it's a great feature. But I think I kind of agree with Mitch Wagner, which is, I think this is going to be more of a niche thing. People are going to try it. I'll be like, oh yeah, that's cool. But I think probably most people aren't going to bother long term and are just going to stick to like the Logitech or whatever, or the built-in camera even. So I'm curious, Tan, what your thoughts are about continuity camera in general. Is it something you're going to use? I mean, I know you already have a webcam, but maybe in the future, do you think it's a game changer, or do you think it's just a, you know, a cool feature that really isn't going to be kind of niche?
Well, I do think it's a great feature, especially if you are traveling and you're kind of limited in space. This is a great way to have some additional space in that sense, where you don't have to like bring your webcam with you and you can just kind of use your phone. But I think it's going to be very niche use case. So I personally wouldn't use it for all the reasons that the guy already mentioned and that you mentioned here. So if you're somebody who's working from home, you probably don't need this as much. If you're traveling a lot, I think it could be handy. There have been situations where, you know, through third-party apps, I would use like a small iPad as a secondary monitor. Like, again, would somebody really use that at the office or working from home? Not really. But if you're traveling, it can come in handy every now and then. But for most of us, it's not really a thing that we need to do anyway. So I feel the same way about this. It's a really useful feature, but I just don't see myself using this at home where I spent like 80% of the work that I do. And if I go to a coffee shop and I have to have a meeting, well, you know what? My MacBook has a built-in camera as well. So it's not like I'm short on options there. So I don't really see the use case for it myself, but I can see how others might find it helpful.
Yeah, if you find it a game changer for you, I would love to hear your use cases. So just hit us up on social media, Asian Efficiency, or email podcast@asianefficiency.com. I'm really, really curious if anybody has a really awesome use for this other than just a cool thing to try. All right, Tan, we always like to end these episodes in an actionable way. So what should somebody put into practice after listening to this episode?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff we went over today, but if there's maybe one thing you could take away from today is maybe the space boxing concept. Like, is that something that you can apply today? Or if there's anything else that stood out for you, maybe write down one action item based on that particular idea or topic and then take action on it starting today. The sooner you can implement it, the faster you start to see results. And so commit to it, do it this week. Speed of implementation, that's what we're all about. And everything that we've mentioned today can be found in the show notes of all the articles, all the links and everything else. Just swipe in your podcast app, you'll see it there, or go to theproductivityshow.com and you'll see all the show notes there as well, and also past recordings that you can listen to. So thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.